Can you hear me now? Okay. Thanks. So sorry. Hello, everybody. Hello, Anne, Marge, Debbie, Abigail, Cheryl. Thank you all for being here tonight. Yeah, it's exciting. About those guys being out in La Vida and making an offer on some property. So I hope it all goes well for them. And of course it's going to go just as it should. So we'll know that to be our truth. Thank you. Jacqueline and I talked last night, and she said that she was going out there with Regina. And would I teach this class? And I said I would, just as it should be. Now, so I get I'm being set up to teach without any preparation, or so. Thank you, Debbie. So you all will bear with me as we progress through Colossians. I can't even say the chapter in chapter 4 on page 360. But before we do that, I'll get started with prayer. Actually, and could you do such a nice prayer? I know you do that. That same prayer over and over again, but it's so great at the beginning of your class. Could you maybe do that prayer for us, just to kick this class off? How about you, Anne? She must have walked in and got her a sandwich. All right. Oh, there she is. Okay. Well, I'm gonna try and drop the mic then and you pick it up and say the prayer for us. Thank you so much. Thanks for being willing to do so.
It was my big moment, and I couldn't get out of my Pal Talk screen to get back into being able to write to you, back to you. So, all right, I am grabbing my NTI. I'm up in Vermont at my aunt's, so I actually know where things are because I just have one room here, not a whole house to look in. And I am killing time as I'm finding the prayer. And I have it. Here we go. Thank you. God, Cheryl's so clutch, man. I got to tell you, I want her on my team forever. Oh, I have her on my team forever. All right, here we go. If you would all join me, I would so appreciate that. We'll close our eyes and Father, let me know you. Let your kingdom dawn upon my mind, that I may be led by your will and become as one with it. Let me hear your word within my mind. Let my lessons be given me, that I may be closer to you through the actions of my day. Let me forgive myself as I know you have. Let me see my brothers as innocent as they truly are. Let us watch our minds for evil thoughts that would trick and blind us to the light within. And let us let those thoughts go so they may not cloud our minds from knowing the truth. Amen. Thank you, Connie. I love you.
How about, am I back on? Okay. Anne, that was so perfect. You know, sometimes we are led and we don't even know we're being led. But that was so perfect because that prayer is absolutely what's being taught in NTI Colossians chapter 4 tonight. So perfect, perfect, perfect. Thank you. It's this whole idea of giving up that personhood and knowing that you're so much more than, I'm so much more than this little Connie. And Holy Spirit's trying to, in Colossians chapter 4, is trying to point this out and tell us how to be about that and how to get beyond thinking that that's who we are and that's what's going on and that's our reality. So I'll quit talking about it and start reading it because, as usual, the Holy Spirit's going to say it better than I do. So we're on page 360, Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Watch your mind. And you watch what it is that you do. Watch your mind, and you watch what it is that you do. With this knowledge, you may gladly choose again. But you will not choose again if you keep out of awareness that which you are doing. So watch your mind vigorously and know what it is that you do. Watch this body that is in the world. Watch it with great interest, for it represents the thoughts that are foremost in your mind. See it as the manifestation of your wishes and your prayers. See it as the physical representation of that which you desire. So Holy Spirit's here saying, watch your body, you know, watch what, basically, what watch what it is that you're doing and thinking and saying. He's calling us to watch our mind vigorously. Because he's saying, where are you placing your identity? Are you placing your identity with the ego or with the Holy Spirit, with the ego or the divine, with the personhood or with divinity itself, with God itself? So Jesus is asking, the Holy Spirit is asking us to be, to watch our mind vigorously. Now, as you watch this body, or what the body's doing, because the body's going to do what you think, right? Okay. So as you watch this body, do so with honesty, detachment, and a true desire to learn. Does this body and all that it does and all that it shares represent the desire you would have it represent? Good news, my brother. The body is nothing. What it does is nothing to be distressed over. You may learn from watching, and then using the knowledge you gain from learning, you may choose to choose again. Of course, whenever the Holy Spirit's asking us to choose again, he's setting us up for the miracle because the miracle says the fear that you that you're believing in, the biases that you're believing in aren't true, and there's a different way of seeing, there's a different way of thinking, there's a different way of being, there's a different way, and it's It's just a matter of recognizing that there's a different way. So whenever there's a misperception, whenever we're distressed, whenever we're unhappy, we can know that there's been a misperception, and with that misperception, there is another way of proceeding, and that is the miracle. So watch what the body does. We're on the paragraph. We're on sentence 11 here. So watch what the body does. Be glad you can see it so clearly. What does your mind report to you when you watch your brothers, listen to them, or think of them? Be careful. What your mind reports as it thinks of them is a trick. Your mind is distracting you from watching the mind the way you intend. Remember that everything you think as you watch your brother, listen to him, or think of him is a thought within your mind that must be watched by you. Yes, your brother has very little to do with what's going on here. Look at your thoughts about your brother. What is it that you are desiring by allowing those thoughts within the mind? What is it that you are asking for through the flow of creation that is you? Yeah, so this is the this is the projection that most of us find ourselves participating in, where our thoughts are projected out onto our brothers. And then we judge our brothers based on our thoughts. So, I guess the easiest illustration for something like this is the other day, I don't know, I had something going on, and Jack and I were talking, and I said, I just don't know what to think about this. What, it's absurd or whatever. What should I think about this? What does this mean? And she said, it doesn't mean anything. Those first lessons in the course are just so critical. Nothing I see means anything. I've given everything I see all the meaning it has for me. I know we take the ideas that are in the mind, and through our filters and our constructs and our projections and our judgments, and we project out a whole world that is pretty unreal, and it has very little to do with God and the abstraction that is God. So in this whole chapter, Holy Spirit here is asking us to watch our mind, to see what we're really doing, to step back and take a look at the bigger picture. So in 10 through 15 it says, give greetings unto your heart as you learn what you ask by watching your mind. Give greetings to your heart in this way. Remember to watch your mind vigorously, for that is the desire of the heart. As you honor its request, you send its greetings of love. Yeah, so you know, and I, when I read something like this, I always think back about that part in the course, and it may not seem relevant here, but to me, it is. And the course says something like, I hope I get this right. If sickness is true, then God is not. If sickness is real, God isn't. If God is real, sickness isn't. Because, and the point I'm trying to make here is that we're so far from the truth when we're far away from God. When we're trying to assign meaning to things that are going on in our lives, to our mind, and its fear thoughts and its unworthiness. So Holy Spirit here is telling us again and again to that those aren't true, and that we can choose again, and we can live in that bigger picture. And of course, that's once again, that's the definition of forgiveness, is knowing that what the senses are telling you is not the truth. There is a bigger picture. And you're part of the abstract, natural flow that you're not participating in as long as you're bogged down in the unreal projections of the mind. Okay, so let's continue. I'm sorry, I got carried away there. Remain detached from the thoughts that you find, yet fully observant. Yeah, we're gonna remain observant to those thoughts because we're going to realize the untruth of them, and just like any fear-based emotion, it can bring you back to truth by just simply seeing it for what it is. Oh, that's a fear thought. Well, I'm not fear. I'm one with the spirit. I'm one with big M mind. Why would I be participating in fear? So again, it says, remain detached from the thoughts that you find, yet fully observant. The heart bids you to remember that the mind receives thoughts of all kinds. It is your habit to accept whatever the mind receives. Now you are being asked to learn discernment. Notice what is received, but realize you need not keep it just because you receive it. Receiving it does not mean you must keep it. Give greetings to the heart by practicing discernment with the heart. Let the heart's desire to be the judge of all thoughts you keep and the thoughts you will let go. Let me read that again. I didn't read it very well. Let its desire to be the judge of the thoughts you will keep and the thoughts you will let go. Let the heart be the desire of the... Let the heart's desire be the judge of the thoughts that you will keep and the thoughts you will let go. So, yeah, so if you're coming from, you know, the heart being that that big hunk of love that you truly are. That doesn't have to get caught up in all these different kinds of thoughts that you have. So, Holy Spirit is saying, let the heart discern. Let it be the judge. Let it decide which ones you're going to keep and which ones you're going to let go. Let it decide which ones are God emulating and which ones are not. Let it decide whether this is a fear-based thought, this is a thought, whether this is a projection, whether this is a construct of who I am or who somebody else thinks I am. Has told me maybe that they think I am. But so once again, Holy Spirit is asking us to remember to watch your mind vigorously. And let the love that you really are be the discerning factor. He goes on to say, remember this, the desire of the heart is only this, for this is the only desire it would place on the flow of creation that you are. Know thyself. So, even our spiritual aspiration for most of us has been set up this way. I know, mine is stepping through the fear because, watching the mind, I just go, oh my gosh, look at all the fear-based thoughts that you have. They're just almost one after another, and you just, unless you're doing what Holy Spirit is trying to get us to do here, and watching the mind. You can go from one fear thought to the next, and it become just a way of life, a way of being. So that's what's going on here. Holy Spirit's saying, wait a minute. This is not who you are. So here's a little practice to to get you away from those erroneous thoughts. And the practice is to watch your mind, to be in alignment with what we know to be true, and let that alignment be the discerning factor as to what you're thinking, to what you're saying, to what you're doing. Of course, what you're thinking and doing is going to, what you're thinking and saying is going to, sorry, I'll get it right in a minute. What you're saying and doing is a direct result of what you're thinking, because that's really all that's going on in the world. It's a projection of what you're thinking. Be willing to know thyself without distraction, and you give true greeting to the heart. Share all that I share with you, with your brothers, through your contemplation. For as you contemplate my words, you learn them. As you learn them, you accept them. As you accept them, you desire and practice them. And as you desire and practice them, you teach them on the flow of life that is you. Place your mind in subordination to your heart and joy. Yeah, that's a great statement, because we want to reason everything out and say, fix things and figure things out. I'm sorry, I missed somebody's statement here. Expressing fear has the hidden message of calling for love. Yeah. express fear as a hidden message of calling for love. So when you place your mind in subordination to your heart, you say, okay, the logical mind would say that that person's just lied to me, or that that was an ugly thing to do, or but the mind that has placed, that is in subordination to that heart, knows that those are misperceptions. Because whenever we're not in, we're in joy, we're in misperception. Whenever we think there's something that needs to be changed, we're in misperception. We're in that mind-body split. And the truth of it is there is only one mind, and I'm that. Place your mind in subordination to your heart in great joy. For in placing the mind in subordination to the heart, you join with your self in the true desire of self. Well, those were the capital F's, of course. Yeah, so the only time there's a problem, the only time there's conflict is when we think there's something outside of us. I mean, if there's nothing outside of me, there's nothing to conflict with. So, so this is a great chapter because we have to take the admonishment that we're getting here is that, you know, you're far too how does that go? You're far too amiable to letting your mind wander, and our call here is to be of one mind with God, and from that perspective, you have an opportunity at a peaceful state of mind, which is within the flow. Of creation that is you. So the last couple sentences here says, come to you through our true desire, which is ours together because we are one. Blessings to you and your practice. I am with you always. Amen. There's a couple things I want to read here. This is going deeper with Hofmeister. And he says, literally the mind is whole and complete in a state where it does not project. It thinks only thoughts that God created. It has no thoughts apart from God, which is pure abstraction. God is not associating thought forms. God is not saying, well, if this happened, then it means this. And it means that they don't love me, and you know, all those things are made up. That's those early lessons. Nothing I see means anything. I've given everything I see all the meaning it has for me. So, and that's the point being made here, that our true nature is distraction. So we kind of pin it down into something that is concrete, and we can call it by name, and we can say, oh, this is more important than this, and but that's not the truth of us. That's just that's seeing ourselves as separate, in a separate world. And there's always going to be problems in that world. So let me read just a little bit more here, what David has to say. Peace of mind as a goal is an abstract goal. It is not it's not a quantifiable goal. You cannot measure peace of mind, and you cannot describe it. The mind will still attempt to do so and say things like, I'm more peaceful when I'm walking in the park than when I'm driving in the city, or I'm more peaceful when I'm in meditation than when I'm in my parents' house. It still wants to make categories. Ultimately, there has to be a complete disidentification from the way the script of the world is going. This does not mean retreating from the world in a sense of trying to run and hide. For some, this sounds boring and difficult to even comprehend how one would live without ordering thoughts, making judgments, and striving after things. But really, in the ultimate sense, it's about stepping back from the thought forms and the mind. There is no dependence on what the body is doing or is not doing, because the body is a thought form. We're talking about another level now. We're talking about, of course, not this small person, the small you. We're talking cognitive on a moment-by-moment basis, that the you is the you that is one with God. The real you is the divinity. The real you is the natural abstraction, not the comparisons and the and the separating devices that we use to keep ourselves in that mindset that says I'm separate from everybody else. That sees problems, because what problem would there be if there was no separation? So by being able to step back and disidentify false construct, the mind is released to its natural state. It feels a stable sense of peace and joy. So that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to offer us. It's trying to offer us a stable sense of peace and joy. There is a state of being which is just recognition of what is. In a metaphoric sense, you know that it is not I that lives. It is the Christ that lives in me. The sense of duality disappears. There's no sense of objectifying behavior, of wondering what you should or should not do. The analyzing stops. Spirit is placed at the center. Spirit is value. Attention is placed on spirit or the voice of God or the intuition, however you want to talk about it. There is a clear focus and intention. Everything else follows from that. There is no attention put on the construct anymore, but all the attention is simply directed to staying in the witness mode or the observer mode, if you will. Okay. All right. Thank you for letting me read that up. That, going deep a little bit. So we got about 20 more minutes. So we'll look here at the next chapter. We're on page 363. Philippians. Holy Spirit's interpretation of Philippians. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Chapter 1. In peace, I come to guide you. Through peace, it is that through peace, it is I that you shall know. Okay. Maybe I'll do that one again. In peace, I come to guide you. Through peace, it is I that you shall come to know. I am continually with you, looking over you in peace and through you, my peace, through you with my peace, as only my sight and manifestation of my glory. I am continually with you, looking over you in peace and looking through you with my peace as my only sight and the manifestation of my glory. This is why you shall know me through peace. It is because I am that which is known as the peace of the heart, which cannot be taken away. Okay, so the Holy Spirit says, that's all I am is peace. And that's all I can see. And that's how I see you. And that's how you'll come to know me. You are accepted into the Lord, our God, by the natural beingness of your truth. Come to me in order to know that which is that which you are. It is through peace that I come into your mind, and so it is through peace that you come to me there. Welcome me there in peace, with joy and gratitude. For I come upon you to remind you that of that which you are. I have no other purpose. To know me and peace, put no other purpose before me. It is through peace that I am known, and it is through me that peace is welcome. Therefore, to know peace in any moment is to know your own self within your heart. You know, years ago when I was getting started on the spiritual journey, one of the first major books that we read besides A Course in Miracles was it's a white book. It's the not Journey Beyond Words. Shoot. Well, I guess I lost that point. But one of the main chapters in that book was do things only in peace. Let peace be your guide in every situation. If I do this, will this bring me peace? If I don't do this, will this bring me peace? No, not Journey Beyond Words. Thank you, Debbie, for trying. Tom Carpenter's book, Dialogue and Awakening. Thank you. Right. So, and that was a big crux of the book, is to do only that which brings you peace. Which just a spiritual aspiration. And it's, you know, obviously it's a good one. And that's what the Holy Spirit is saying here, is that that's who I am, that's who you are, that's how I'll see you. And as you come to know me and have no other purpose, that's how you'll see me, you'll see everything. With the joy and the gratitude that comes with peace. All right, so the Holy Spirit goes on to say, take care to be grateful for every moment of peace that comes to greet you. And it is moments of peace that you shall continue to know. Take care to be grateful for every moment of peace that comes to greet you, and in its moments of peace that you shall continue to know. I know most of us have been at a retreat or a seminar, or maybe just a reading, and we've had these experiences where we're just so grateful for the truth. Our heart just bubbles over with that gratitude. Oh my God, thank God this is the truth. And what I thought was true is not true. That my projections and my constructs and my judging, and thank God that what I've learned here is the truth of me, that there's a benevolent, loving, abstract God. And as you have those moments, as you live in those moments, that is your world, because the way you look at the world determines what you see. So if we know in our heart that there's nothing going on in the world that would separate me from my brother, that by the grace of God, I only need to be seeing with the eyes of peace, with full heart, then that grows on itself, and that's the world you see. Take care to be grateful for every moment of peace that comes to greet you, and it is moments of peace that you shall continue to know. It's moments of peace that you will know as you become grateful. So it kind of snowballs on itself, I think, is what the Holy Spirit's saying here. Ephesians chapter 2, page 364. Your viewpoint is everything. The way you look at the world determines the world you see. Therefore, it is time for you to look carefully at the way you look at the world. It is time to realize that you are the maker of all that you see. Wow. It is time to realize that you are the maker of all that you see. Peace is the guiding light that you must follow as you learn to look within the mind. For it is peace that leads you to recognition of truth. And it is lack of peace that reminds you that you are not following your way. Yeah, so Dialogue on Awakening said, choose peace and only peace in every scenario. And should you, for any reason, decide not to choose peace, at least be cognitive of what you're doing. So, and that kind of goes back to the chapter before, what we're reading previously, and for the whole mind watching, to be cognitive of what it is you're thinking in every moment. And if you're thinking with a peaceful, grateful heart, then you're probably not able to experience the joy that's available. To the peaceful mind. Peace is your guide because in peace you accept the power of God as it is and you enjoy its flow. Peace is gentle gratitude. Peace is love for all that is. And my goodness, and that isn't that all that we've been learning here for with Regina, that peace is love for all that is. In peace, you accept the power of God as it is, and you enjoy its flow. That'd be the way to live life, don't you think? And that's why that last lesson, last chapter was so important, to say that that the things we think we see and that we think that have meaning, the things that the senses are seemingly showing us, are not the things that are important. They're not even true. But let's just stick with things. It's not important. What is important is the peace that's being talked about here. What is important is keeping your mind aligned with spirit. To begin to know that that's who you are. Why we have mantras and spiritual aspirations, because that is the truth of who we are. So we're trying to constantly remind ourselves of that. So in this chapter 2 here, on page 364, the Holy Spirit said, in peace you accept the power of God as it is, and you enjoy its flow. Peace is gentle gratitude. Peace is love for all that is. Listen within for the gentle guidance of peace. It is quite easy to hear. It leads you in ease, acceptance, and trust. And I know a lot of you that are in this next class coming up are having a lot of great experiences in listening to the Holy Spirit. And there is that. I mean, it's kind of like what comes first, the cart or the horse. So listening to the Holy Spirit, there is peace in that. And accepting peace brings the voice of the Holy Spirit to you. It leads you in ease, acceptance, and trust. When fear intrudes on peace, you will hear it if you are listening. And that's what was being said in the chapter. If you hear what's going on when you talk or even in your mind, you'll begin to notice when those stabs of, I think later right here it says something about the stabs of being thrusted on you. When fear intrudes on peace, you will hear it if you are listening. There will seem to be a slight upset, a stab thrust upon your peace, and an immediate desire to deny the thought or feeling that has intruded upon your peace. Yeah, so it becomes a way of discernment. I tell you, the desire to deny the intrusion is fear. It is fear that you are a sinner and that you must hide so you are not found out and somehow punished. I tell you, to give in to this desire is to deny is to keep up within you. Let me read that sentence again. I tell you, to give in to this desire to deny is to keep up within you fear and the belief in sin. This is not salvation. This is not the way of peace, nor is it the reason for being in tune with your peace. Yeah. So if we get out of our peace and into this fear, our mind starts believing the falsity of us, and that is not salvation. That's not the way of peace. Let's look at this situation more closely, which will surely come upon you time and time again. And make sure you are ready to use each and every occurrence for the purpose of healing. For it is through consistent and steady healing is realized by your joy. So, you know, I think it was The Secret that had that. It talked about letting everything be a barometer. So when I'm, if the purpose is joy, and I feel this stab of fear, then I go, oh well, this is easy. I just want to move back to what I know is the truth of me, which is the peace, and not let whatever seeming circumstances come up be my guide, because that's a false guide. That's a false interpretation. That's a misperception. It's not the truth of me. The truth of me is this peace, is this gratitude, is this acceptance, is the joy. So the barometer is when I'm seeing anything else, I can look at that without fear and just know that that is not the truth of me. And I can step back from that. I can choose again. And choosing again in that light, that is the miracle. Not accepting that little fragment of whatever may have just seemingly occurred and extending it to the whole and saying, oh, that's the way things are. That's a forgiveness. Is not projecting those misperceptions upon the world. But to stay with the truth that you know that resonates in your heart, and that is the that the Holy Spirit is talking about here. That's what's being offered. Thank you for letting me teach tonight. I've got some circumstances that are going on for me that certainly seem to be saying, teach what you would learn. So I'm very grateful to have this lesson from the Holy Spirit tonight, and I'm very grateful for being able to hear it and to teach it. So thank you. Thank you and good night.